Kelvin Lin is a Washington State University Regents Professor, a professor of mechanical and materials engineering, and a professor of physics. He is the director for the WSU Center for Materials Research, Boeing Chair for Advanced Materials, and a George and Diane Conniff Distinguished Professor. His professional activities have focused in the areas of solid-state and surface physics, defects in semiconductors and metals, photovoltaic materials, room temperature radiation detectors, thermal stimulated spectroscopies, positron interactions in solids, microelectrical and mechanical systems, growth of semiconductors and oxide crystals, and energy harvesting. Professor Lin is one of the premier researchers in antimatter. His early research resulted in the development of positron beams for research, and has written a seminal publication on the use of antimatter. He was formerly director of the Brookhaven National Laboratory's Applied Physics Division, and was director of the Material Sciences Division. What follows are a few excerpts from recordings of a visit to his Washington State University laboratories, which took place October 2012. First, Professor Lin discusses one application of his cadmium zinc telluride crystal research, the reduction of radiation exposure while increasing the imaging quality in medical and dental CT scans.
The cad zinc tell is not very pretty to look at in a sense, but it's used for this radiation detection, and it reduces the dose on CT scans by an order of magnitude in dental, providing much more information. So with the CT scan now, you just get black and white, basically. And with this material, the hope is, which is just evolving, you get color. So you're going to not only see, get less dose, but you're going to see the difference between different minerals in your body. That's how they tell. For women having osteoporosis, they look at the amount of calcium and magnesium in your bones. The dental imaging is you reduce the time, you get a digital image, you get a better resolution, and you get 10 times less the dose. In Europe, they already have implemented because they don't have the environmental problem of the silver chlorides.
Here he talks about his lab's development of acoustic energy harvester crystals that can be used for ultra-efficient audio transmission.
And this right here, if you put in front of we made a speaker out of this material. And if you ever wonder how Bose makes these small speakers, they use piezoelectric. And so this is 10 times more efficient. So we made a little cube of this material and had a 100-watt speaker. And this one we used in front of a speaker. Talking into it, we got 40% efficient of my sound energy going into the crystal.
Lin's lab is also involved with a completely unique experiment with crystals using an apparatus that only two of its kind exist in the world, an electrodynamic, gradient freeze, vertical Bridgman furnace.
This is a completely unique experiment. There's been one done like this in China, and this is an electrodynamic gradient freeze, vertical Bridgman furnace. And the way it's set up is this rotates, accelerates, and decelerates when it's a liquid at high temperature to mix up the liquid and try to get better crystals. We want it to be highly perfect, low impurities for high quality imaging or any kind of radiation detectors.
Professor Lin explains why he created the crystal growth program at WSU.
There was no crystal growth program anywhere in the state, and there's very few in the United States. I realized that we could do this because it would provide the students with the background to get jobs in the Northwest. And so Oregon and Washington has a large number of companies growing crystals, and one of the reasons historically has been is we have excess, cheap, reliable power. We started to build furnaces, and now we've built our own furnaces, and we have furnaces that are completely unique in the U.S. We can grow in different environments, and we can grow crystals at higher temperatures than anybody else in the world.
Kelvin Lin named some of the specializations of crystal usage.
The furnaces behind me here, we grew what are called piezoelectric single crystal, and that's used in the Navy for sonar. to sonar buoys to detect different submarines. It's used in ultrasound. It's used in surgery at some time. So it converts mechanical energy into electrical energy, or it detects sound. In your car, which is somewhat surprising, there's 50 types of piezoelectric sensors, from anything from your fuel injection to your airbags, to your brakes, to your running your seat belts, so when you stop, it locks up. And you, if your battery goes dead, they still work because it generates its own electrical. Another type of crystal that we grow is laser crystals. And there's a variety of laser crystals that are grown both for medical imaging, and I'll show you some where they're used in eye surgery or the green laser pointer, or some are used in lasers to cut metals. They use it to cut all ships and car doors are cut by this what's called neodymium yttrium aluminum garnet. In short, it's neodymium YAG. Yeah, and I want to mention probably one of the mainstays in crystal growth, and that's a semiconductor cad zinc telluride. And that's right now the fastest growing. It's used for osteoporosis. It's used for breast imaging. It's the best secondary screening there is with very high resolution. We now have a program that's working. The fastest growing solar cell market is CadTel. And we've realized that when we realized how to grow such high quality big crystals, that then this should be used, our knowledge can be used in making thin film solar cells.
Lin's lab is often called on to make improvements of the efficiencies of laser crystals in industry and medicine.
Efficiency of the crystal, the input power versus output power, could be improved significantly, therefore reducing the costs. So one of the projects we worked with a company out of Florida on, in Seattle, we reduced the cost of a slab laser, which is a square laser, which was typically $40,000, and at the end of the project, it was being sold for $4,000.
Sometimes the crystal making takes on a more fashionable orientation.
We also have, for fun, laser crystals can also become kind of like jewelry, and so we've grown some rubies, which are very nice, and we've grown some blue sapphire. And so these crystals, the students really like doing it, and it's fun, and we can do it very quickly, and we can test to see how well the system's running on it. And we plan to do some emeralds as well. The emeralds would be for fun. The ruby was done because somebody in a national lab asked if we could make something similar to ruby, and so I thought that would be a good test case to prove ourselves, to show that we can do rubies. And the first time we tried to grow it, we grew it, and we're the only ones that grow these artificial rubies this way, because you need the infrastructure. So it's a high temperature furnace, and we can grow it very fast. It takes us about a week to grow probably 2,000 carats of ruby.
Lin concludes by describing the uniqueness of the WSU program.
We want to continue to try to grow absolutely unique, what are called nonlinear or high temperature materials. We've developed this process to where we can grow things that other people have never been able to grow. And hopefully by growing some of those, we'll find new properties as well. We need to be able to drive and be able to grow these crystals for American industry and hopefully to export them to other countries. Most of the students, they're not all in Washington State, but almost every company that grows crystals, there's a student that has graduated from Washington State that works for that company, and they enjoy it.
You can read about Kelvin Lin's unique path into his crystal work and many other areas of research on the web at magazine.wsu.edu.